5 and 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." What happened in Vegas was an example of that kind of evil. That was a devouring. That was a pouncing on innocent people, and a lot of people were hurt. It was more than just 60 people that were hurt. There were hundreds upon hundreds of people that were affected directly in their families, in their lives, their extended families. The whole city of Vegas was impacted. The whole country was impacted. I'd say much of the world was watching that and was impacted by that. It made history as the largest shooting on American soil. And it doesn't even make sense that we register those things, that we track those things. Those things shouldn't even exist for us to talk about. And they didn't exist 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But they exist today because there's an evil that's moved in that's influencing this situation. And we've got to recognize that as evil. So we, as I said, are a nation of tolerance. We accept socially a lot of things in the name of tolerance. But here's the key, and this is the nuance of the lesson tonight. We accept things in tolerance, in the name of tolerance, but we often lack mercy when we deal with other people. It brings to my mind the thought of the woman caught in adultery. When they had pulled her together in front of Jesus, and they said this woman was caught in sin, the people who had no authority to judge were judging her. They were intolerant and they had no mercy. The person who had full authority to judge had mercy but no tolerance. He said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And we all know the story. Nobody cast a stone. They all walked away one by one. And Jesus looked up and said, "Where are thine accusers?" And then he said, "Neither do I condemn thee." He showed mercy. And then he said, "Go and sin no more." He showed intolerance. I'm not gonna condone the sin. I'm not gonna endorse the sin, but I'm gonna endorse you. I'm gonna support you. I'm gonna show you mercy because I have the right to judge whether you get mercy or not. But the men who had accused her had no right. So in this evil, Jesus said, "Do it no more." He was intolerant to sin. You know, and we see these, I'll call them larger sins, when we look out at other people and we see these things like adultery or alcoholism or drug abuse or you name it, and we can see that in others. And it's easy to point at that and spot that and say, well, that's sin. That's evil. But the truth is there's a lot smaller evils that work in our lives that are just as damaging. There's murmuring, there's pride, there's arrogance, there's lying. There's all these things that we can do quietly that you can't just look at us and say that that's evil or that's sin because it's not on us, it's in us. But those things that are not necessarily on us but are in us are just as destructive. And it also puts us in a situation where we can't judge others. The truth is, we got enough to handle in the mirror, we got no business trying to handle the things out our windows. So Brother Ken said a few sermons ago, I'm not sure which night or day it was, but he said he was referencing the Song of Solomon when he said, "It's the little foxes that spoil the vine." It's those little things that nip away at our lives that spoil the vine. Those are the things that we should be guarding ourselves against. We're pretty good at, you know, the country was pretty quick to say, yeah, that thing that happened in Vegas, that was pure evil. We get it. What we don't get is why, but it was pure evil. What's going on with terrorists, that's also evil. They have an ideology. At least we understand a why. This one, we don't have a why. It's just flat out evil. That was like a lion devouring. The scene was very clear and easy to identify. But what we struggle with, as I said before, is the quiet evil. The stuff that is socially acceptable, but biblically, God doesn't like. See, these things that are socially acceptable that we've built a tolerance for, that we're teaching each other, there should be tolerance for. Those things change across the generations. As I said earlier, this generation was good with certain things, not good with others. This generation is a little bit okay with other things, but not good with the first things. Time passes, and those things that are socially acceptable change with the times. What does not change? God does not change. So that tells me that we should get our guidance on what's acceptable from the thing that does not change. So, biblically, God doesn't change. So the definition of what is wrong doesn't change. So we claim to evolve over these generations, but the rules, the Scripture, has not changed. And the fact is, what's in the Scripture, what's written in the law, none of us live up to it. Like the woman that was accused and caught in adultery, it's easy for us to see those sins in others. If you'll reference Matthew chapter 7, verses 3-5, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." So we should call evil, evil. I'll endorse that. I'll say that we should do that. We should be intolerant to sin, the large stuff and the small stuff. I think as Christians, we ought to stand and say, right is right and wrong is wrong. To both the roaring evil, like the roaring lion, and to the subtle evils, like when Eve was tempted in the garden. That subtle, prideful evil. But here's where we have to be careful. We set our standards and we take a hard line. And as a church and as a Christian people, we ought to do that. But because we are human beings and made of flesh, we got to be careful about where our standards come from. Is it a biblical standard? Or is it a personal conviction? You can't put your personal conviction on other people. So, we're nobody's judge. We have no right to judge our brothers and sisters. We're held to a pretty high standard. You know, in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, the Scripture tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil, we're not supposed to do it. So if it's going to put a mark on you that you're doing something wrong, then and and it's going to look like that to the people around you, then you shouldn't be doing it. So, if we have such a high standard, I would ask, did all of us accomplish that this week? Did all of us hold ourselves to the standard to where we've abstained from all appearances of evil? I'd say most of us didn't stand up to that. So I just have to say I appreciate a little mercy when I'm not perfect. And I think other people around me deserve a little mercy too. Because you know, when we set our standards based on how we want other people to act, it's real easy for us to get kind of holy. And it's real easy for us to set a standard or to create an environment that people can't live up to. And when people come into an environment they can't live up to, they feel pushed out of that environment. We don't want to push people out of this environment that need help. We don't want to create an environment that people can't connect with and where they can't get help. So our fleshly standards, we have to be real careful to guard ourselves, to not put those out there on people. And we should be able to let the Bible name the sin and not put our convictions on others. I've got a conviction, a personal conviction for me, and I'm not bragging, but I haven't ever had any alcohol, but I can't say that. But it's been 20-something years for me. That's a conviction that's on me, and I believe it's biblical that that's probably a conviction that should be on everyone. I believe the Bible would support that. I also have a conviction that I shouldn't be in a bar whether I'm drinking or not. It's just a personal conviction I have. I don't know. I could put that on everybody around me, but that's not necessarily something everybody's going to do or not do. I can just say that we have events at work all the time where someone's leaving, someone's having a going away party, and I just have to say, look, I appreciate working with you for 20 years, and I know you got this thing tonight, but I won't be there. You're just not going to see me there, and that's a personal conviction for me. Not because I'm too good to be around people in that setting or because I think I would necessarily do anything wrong, but it's a conviction for me because I know where that could end up for me. And I know that God has spoken clearly to me that that's not where I'm supposed to be and that's not what I'm supposed to do. We got to be careful. We can't throw people away that don't share a certain conviction that we share. So it's a personal conviction. And across this nation, generation after generation, we've convinced ourselves that if it doesn't hurt anyone, it's not wrong. If it makes me happy, it's not bad. If it's my life and I can do what I want with it. None of us are isolated to the point where we can do anything we want with our lives and not affect other people. That's not the way God uses us or uses Christians. Remember, it's the little foxes that destroy the vineyard. If the United States is going to bear fruit as a nation, we have to know the difference between good and evil. As a country, we have to choose a path. And as an individual, we have to choose a path. And I'll just tell you that there's enough going on for me in the mirror that if I'm going to spend time fixing something, I can spend all my energy and all my time trying to fix the junk in my life. And I think God would have us spend our energy and our time fixing the sins, the little foxes, the big sins, the stuff in our life. And when we're working outward with people and we're looking outward at people, all they need is our support and our love and us to live an example for them. Nobody needs us to go around correcting them or putting our stuff on them or judging them, because Just as Jesus said with the woman caught in adultery, the first one that is without sin can go ahead and throw the stone. And I know I wouldn't be picking up any stones tonight. So the country has to choose a path. And I'm gonna do something that you guys would never imagine happening. I'm gonna quote Hillary Clinton. I'm gonna do that because she said something smart. And it's the smartest thing I've ever heard her say. She said, "The United States is great because the United States is good." That's pretty good. I got to give her credit. She said it was a smart thing. We'll be as great as our spirit allows us to be. We'll be as great as a nation and as a church as we get ourselves in a place to where God can bless, where God can use. I heard someone say the other day, I was listening to a sermon on the radio, and this gentleman said, and I've never heard it said this way, but I have had the thought that God has a place for all of us. He has a place for all of us at a time in our lives. And just like Elijah by the brook Cherith, that was the spot, and I go back to this in my Christian life all the time, that was the spot God wanted him. And that was the spot where the ravens were going to bring the food. And it didn't make sense for him to be by that brook. It was a wet water spring, and it wasn't reliable. He logically wouldn't have gone there on his own, but that's where God told him to be. And that's where the ravens were bringing the food. That's where the water was. That's where he was going to be sustained. And this preacher said that when we're in the place God wants us to be, we take on the full power of God to command His will around us. I thought, well, that's kind of strong. I mean, I don't know about all that. And then I thought about it a little bit, and I said, well, if that's the place God wants us to be, and we're operating within His will, then He's going to support what we're doing in that place. That puts a lot of power on the things we do. But move over a few feet, move over to a different situation where God doesn't want you, and you can't have His power on your life. You can't move the things that God has the ability to move because you can't wield His power in that situation. He can't bless it. He can't support it. That really got me to thinking about the power that we can have in our lives if we get ourselves in the right place. You know, the United States has enjoyed that power for generations. Because we've been a Christian nation and we've made decisions around what God would have us do, and we've tried to stay on a path, our leaders have checked in with God before making decisions. And I worry about that changing and that shifting when we as a nation can't even have a dialogue about the difference between good and evil. When we get off of a clear evil and start getting down the spectrum to even a little bit of nuanced situation where somebody might offend someone and we can't call bad bad and good good, I worry about what path we'll choose as a nation when we can't have that national dialogue. So I'm a little disappointed that we couldn't go deeper than that. Because I worry that we can't get in the spot where God can truly bless. So in our own personal lives, we have to choose that path. If we're going to bear fruit in our lives, we have to know the difference between good and evil. We have to run from evil, and we have to seek righteousness for ourselves. We have to keep our judgment off of others. We are not their judge. And I would just say, if we really want to try something for a few days, try judging ourselves as harshly as we judge others for a few days. Put ourselves under the same scrutiny we put others under. We assume a lot about other people. We don't always assume the best in other people, but we always assume the best in ourselves, don't we? Well, I didn't mean anything by that. Everybody ought to know I'm not that kind of person. I don't mean that. Let somebody else do something.
Well, that's just the way they are.
You know what? What if we start assuming in others that they didn't mean anything? They didn't mean nothing. And they're actually a good person. Or, well, maybe they slipped up a little bit, but I know better. I know they didn't mean anything by that. We won't hold that against them. But just turn it on yourself. The way we judge others, let's judge ourselves for a few days and see how that fits. God loves us and wants the best for us. And I pray that you have that in your lives, and we have that in this country. But it's going to start and it's going to continue with an acknowledgement that we know the difference between right and wrong, and that we're striving and working for choosing right and choosing righteousness for ourselves, and keep our hands off of others, keep our speech off of others, keep our talk off of others, keep our focus off of others, and we keep our focus on ourselves and fixing our own lives, that'll be a handful enough if you ask me. Thank you for your attention this evening.